Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, July 24th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Eddie Oye Jr., and joining me is host of PS I Love You, XOXO, Greg Miller. Greg, how's it going?
It's good. How are you, you fucking sellout?
I'm a sellout? What?
Send you a free Xbox shirt you're wearing, huh? That's what? How. Oh, you got another? You got a cap ready to go, too. Look at you.
I have no idea what you mean.
Stand for something. God.
Listen, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what console I believe is better? Is the console that sends me the most things. And so Nintendo, if you want to send me a shirt, a hat, and some, you know, some fly kicks, listen, I'm Mario all day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're a part. You're all about that Mario. You're all about that, yeah.
Now, Kevin, what are you about to say? Because I heard the mic.
I'm gonna switch services and switch back to see if Greg's ridiculously bad looking screen gets better.
Yeah, I saw. And then I'm too loud. Now, of course, as you know, he of course makes me change up my game.
Wow, look how pretty you look. You look like a
look
pretty
at
boy.
That. Look Thank at. You, I will say, Greg does still sound loud on my end.
Sure, I
don't know.
I dialed the gain down last night for Halo because Andy was like, "Greg, your gain," and I'm like, "This is how it is every day, Andy.
I know.
You do multiple shows with me.
He's talking about this stuff. You know.
Well, if I don't humor him, he will sit there and the rest of the show be a cranky little jerk about it. So I had to do something.
God, that's so accurate.
I feel that. Do you know how many DMs I got from my coworkers yesterday saying that my gain was too loud or saying that like I was coming in, I was clipping, and it's like,
are you talking about us?
Yeah, we're your coworkers.
Like, Oh man, I forgot where I was.
I mean, we're trying to help you. You know?
I mean, listen.
It sounds like you fixed it. You said you fixed the clip, right? And the clip sounds
maybe,
good.
Possibly. We'll see.
I don't think you need to use that app you use to handle the
audio.
Well,
that's the thing I did. I made it so that Discord is now hearing my mic feed directly instead of my voice meter feed.
Did you lower your mic output?
Yes, in the system
settings. Okay.
Yes, I did. Great. And so hopefully
but
things
still
are good
looks
now.
Like your not, gain, it still looks like your gain is at zero.
It is. That's the thing that's great. My gain is the lowest it can possibly be on my mic. And now on my actual computer, it is turned down to like 25. And so it is very low.
Wow. Turn it up. At least just turn it up for science purposes. Put it at 30%.
My gain? Or
your gain on the knob.
Oh, that scares me because I feel like I'm going to start
blowing
out. Just
do it. And then whisper. Greg, take your headphones off.
Hello, mama, let me whisper in your ear.
All right, we'll talk normal.
Hello.
It's distorting. Bring it back down.
Distorting. All right, sorry, it's all the way back down.
Wow,
can I come
that's
back
crazy. Yeah.
Can I come back?
Yeah.
All
right. Dude, technology. Kevin, let me tell you about this thing called vMix. Have you heard of vMix?
Is that the one that you showed me last time where I was like, this seems complicated?
Mm-hmm. That is the
probably,
one. Is
probably
the one.
Andy. Yeah, because I'm going to do a
Wait,
do
is this
a
the banana
plug
one?
Real quick. No, that's voice meter. That's the audio software.
Got it.
VMix.
Yeah.
VMix is a video software that they use over at Rooster Teeth. Because I was on a show called Effing Around.
Yeah.
Effing Around with Iffy and Fiona, which features the homie Fiona Nova and the homeboy Iffy, Achievement Hunter. You might not be familiar with Iffy, but he's an icon.
Iffy
he's a Nigerian
did stand
icon.
Up with us. He was great. Right.
Probably. That sounds about right. That sounds
Greg,
like something
you,
that would happen.
You seem
with
like
Iffy.
You're on top of these things. Oh, you didn't go to our stand up.
I didn't
you don't
go to
like stand-up. Us enough.
Oh yeah, that's what it is, Kevin. You know.
Anyway,
I mean?
That's what it felt like. It was a big.
I was
deal.
On their, I was on their show yesterday. It's an Achievement Hunter thing. And
what are
we
talking about anymore?
I'm selling Kevin on vMix because it is
okay,
the future.
Thank you.
It is a video.
You're
software.
Talking to me.
Yeah, I'm talking to you, Kevin.
I'm kidding. Let's go. It's
just
video
Google.
Software.
Just Google vMix. Enough about video software. Enough about vMix because this isn't going anywhere.
Plus,
let's
just so
talk
you know,
about...
I have looked into it. I don't like it.
You don't like it, dude? Like it's change. Amazing. It was really cool, the things they were able to do with it. They were able to do, like, smooth transitions and all this stuff. Just look into it. Look into it, Kevin. I think you like it.
There was some reason I didn't want to do
let me
it.
Let me and you sit down. Let's look into vMix. Let's figure all this out, because I feel like it could be the future of what this is, you know?
Nah.
Let's talk about updates on yesterday's Xbox showcase. Ghost of Tsushima selling like hotcakes, and G4 possibly making a comeback, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping, our new first impressions preview of Crash Bandicoot 4 is up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Tim and Barrett both played their preview demos, and let me tell you, man, from what I hear, Tim very excited about it. Barrett might also be very excited about it. I didn't hear his impression.
You don't listen to Barrett. Nobody does.
I don't. Yeah, he talks, and it's like,
all right, come on. Let's not be mean to Barrett, guys. That's enough of that. All right, he tried.
Barrett started it.
Hey,
Barrett was mean to Uncharted 4.
Exactly.
He was mean to Final Fantasy.
Iron Uncharted franchise, and then he tried to walk it back, and then he tried to act like something. Don't listen to Barrett.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you say Uncharted?
I did.
Yes.
All right, I'm blocking him on Twitter.
Thank you.
But yeah, Tim calls Crash the Sonic Mania of the Crash series, Crash 4. And so if you're interested, check out that first impressions preview again on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or on podcast services around the globe on the First Impressions podcast feed. Saturday, that's tomorrow, is the second episode of the Kinda Funny X-Cast with Snowbike Mike, Gary Whitta, and Alana Pearson. Of course, they're going to be reacting to the Xbox game showcase that happened yesterday. See, now Barrett's DMing me and telling me to get my mic away from my mouth. And I'm like,
don't listen. Don't let him get in your head.
Unless I'm saying something, you're fine.
It's Kevin's fault.
Okay. Block Barrett on your phone Barrett, right now.
Blocking Barrett. All right, he's blocked. On all of them. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mom and Mom. Yeah, I can do that with one button now.
You did that with one click?
Yeah, one click. Blocks him on Twitter, Insta, Slack, damn, everything. Let's see. He's still somehow messaging me. He's getting through the block. He's saying, also, everyone is already... Oh, okay. Well, now he's just telling me personal stuff about people being mean to him on Twitter. Barrett, we love you. You're okay. It's just sometimes when you talk about Uncharted...
Nobody mean to Barrett, all right? You know, everybody, he thinks nice he can throw these rocks, but then when you throw the rock back at his glass house, that's
God
too much.
God damn it, Greg Miller. Stop it!
Nobody be mean to Barrett, for real. Let's all... for real. Pickles. We're all saying... We're using the code word pickles. Safe word pickles. Let's all stop being mean to each other. Let's have a good show. Blessings of fucking sellout wearing all this Xbox stuff.
Exactly. Tweet nice things to Barrett if you're going to tweet a Barrett. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mom and Muhammad and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Klarna, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Thing. I'm like trying to like scoot away from my mic, but now I'm gonna be like a billion miles away from my desk.
Blessing, something that I had to do because your mic was really quiet a while back, mm-hmm, is I had to turn up your gain on my side, and that was still pretty high, so I turned it down, and that might have fixed it for when I'm running the stream. But like that doesn't explain you being told you're loud by everyone else on a call. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I usually don't hear from other people on a call.
Except for yesterday when everyone DM'd you, right? Coffee
now, so while you argue about this, I'm going to go fill the coffee.
That sounds
good. You can start the first story if you want.
That sounds good. Right? Isn't that what you said? Everyone DM'd you?
Well, Barrett's DMing me. Like, not people.
Oh,
not people,
you got to clarify that shit. I know we said not to be mean by Barrett, but I thought you meant everyone on the call.
No,
well, all right, looks like we solved it. Turn up your gain just a little bit. Hit me at 15%.
I feel like it's fine.
Okay,
I'm
your hand is right there. Your hand is right there. Just
yeah, but
just
like
touch
I don't
it.
Want. Alright, I turned it up just a little bit.
Yeah, oh, that sounds good. That sounds.
That
good.
Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look at the chat. Oh, they love it.
They love it.
The sad
they
boy
like
Barrett
it.
Kid is saying he sounds good.
Now, Kevin, is Greg as distorted for you as he is for me?
No, Greg looks crystal clear.
Right? Like not visually, audio wise.
Oh, he was hey, when he yelled.
Me. I'm Greg Miller, and hey, I'm talking. I usually talk like this, and I say stuff about PlayStation, maybe sometimes about Xbox, never
wait, hold
PC.
On. Was that a weird-ass cadence that he just like said everything at? Because like
it was.
Okay.
He did that on purpose. God, that okay. was. That was
I woke
like
this morning feeling like this feels like it should already be Saturday, and this show proves it. This show proves we've all worked too hard, and no, this is not it. I'll go back to where I was before if you want. They say the chat is saying I sound distorted. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you definitely sound distorted. I wasn't going to make a big deal
that's
about
back
it.
That's where the game usually was.
No, now I made it worse.
Fuck, really?
Yeah.
How's this?
Well, you got to keep talking. Just saying two words isn't enough.
It's me, Greg Miller, and I'm talking to you, and I'm saying hello.
Now you sound fine. It sounds like it's a gain, like a gate issue. So, like, when you start talking, it goes...
Oh, do I need to screw with the Discord game thing again?
Yeah, maybe.
Everybody remember too, there's a pandemic, so we have to work from home and figure this stuff out on the fly.
This is your guys' fault.
I told you motherfuckers to wash your hands in 2019. Nobody wanted to listen. You wanted to be grubby cubbies out there running around rubbing each other's butts and faces.
Miller,
so I'm taking the mic sensitivity down to 92, negative 92.
What was it at?
Is that better? It was I already changed it, but it was somewhere like negative 82.
Okay. Is the automatically determined input sensitivity off?
No, it's on. No,
turn,
wait.
Turn that off.
No, it was on. I'm sorry. It was off. I had it on. I had it set to this gain that we had already.
Okay, we'll turn it off.
No, it was never on. It was never on.
Okay.
So it's now it's episode. Off. And my in. You know what? They want to see how the sausage gets made. It's a Friday episode.
What is your output volume set to?
My output device is. Wait, hold on. No. What do you mean?
Output volume. Underneath where it says output device, it says output volume. So just check
it
out.
Yeah, it's 100%, 106%.
Okay, well, okay. Set it to just 100.
Isn't that out middle. To me, though?
That's yeah, out, you're right. Never mind. Speakers,
don't touch his volume.
Input volume is 100%.
Isn't the Discord gate, I feel like the Discord gate, though, specifically for when you're coming in too low, not when you're coming in too high. Because it sounds like Greg is coming in too high, which is cutting his
That's why we just put down the input volume.
I put the input volume down to 89 the year Ghostbusters 2 came out, and the percentage Kevin told me to
we
put
did it.
In.
We all fixed right, cool. it. Fuck yeah.
Everybody,
yeah,
we fixed great. It. Let's do a show. Kevin, roll the intro, and let's get it from the top.
Let's do it. From the top, Kevin. You think he's going to do it?
I'm not going to do it. All right.
Kevin, he's a wild card.
Story number one, Halo.
I was going to say, to be clear, we're not restarting the show. We just wanted a fresh start for you, the viewer and listener in your car right now.
Halo Infinite's demo yesterday at the Xbox Game Showcase was a work in progress build. This is from Jordan Olliman at IGN. The Halo Infinite demo debuted during yesterday's Xbox Game Showcase was a work in progress build, running on a PC with equivalent specs to the Xbox Series X. In an interview with Inside Gaming, Xbox marketing GM Aaron Greenberg responded to criticism about Infinite's graphics, saying, quote, listen, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. It's July. We're far from launch and holiday. You're seeing a work in progress game, end quote. He continued by saying that the stream itself may be part of the response. Quote, it's very hard to show the full power and graphical fidelity of what the Xbox Series X will be able to deliver for you over a stream. Go back and look at it in 4K 60, end quote. Referring to the fact that the stream was delivered live in 1080p, but the gameplay premiere can be viewed in 4K 60 FPS on the Halo YouTube channel. That said, many had pointed to flat lighting and low resolution textures in official screenshots of the game, but Greenberg reiterated that the looks will improve. Quote, the other thing I'll just say is this. It is a work in progress. I can tell you because we see build-in check-ins every week, and they make progress week after week. So between now and holiday, it's just going to get better and better. Greg, this is something that was brought up on yesterday's Games Daily, because, of course, it was me, you, Snowbike, Andy, and Tim, and we were doing our whole reaction to yesterday's Xbox Games Showcase. And as we were doing that episode, you know, there were tweets and essentially like screenshots that came out that didn't look as crisp and as, like, I don't know, forward-looking in the graphical department as I think people would expect from a big Halo Infinite game coming out on Xbox Series X. Mm-hmm. How do you react to what Aaron's saying here regarding it being a work in progress and that being the reason why?
I think this whole thing is a much ado about nothing. I think we're judging a game that is unreleased. We're judging it off of a stream. I like, because, you know, we've talked about this at length, so I don't need to go into it. But obviously, I'm playing Halo Combat Evolved for the first time right now. I do not have a history with Halo. So when we finished the Xbox Showcase yesterday, even when we were watching it, I was like, oh, this looks good. This looks cool. I mean, you know, it's, will I play it? I don't know. Will I finish it? I don't know. It's not doing something for me on this nostalgia level, but the gameplay looks cool and the grappling hooks looks cool. And I think the game looks pretty. And, you know, afterwards there was this whole hullabaloo about it. And, you know, Tim went online and was talking on a tweet about his idea of style versus, you know, graphic fidelity and intensity, I guess. And he was talking a lot about how, like, Breath of the Wild is a beautiful game, but isn't pushing the Switch to new levels in terms of what it can do and what it can't do. And that when I looked at this, and from even what we talked about, and this could be me selling Halo short too, for the record, when the box art dropped, the key art for Halo Infinite dropped, and even I, a not Halo fan, was able to look at it and go, oh, they're clearly calling back to the original Combat Evolved cover. They're trying to get back to the roots of what Halo is. Looking at this, this looks like the Halo art style I think of for Halo. Like, I look at it, and I, even right now, I didn't double back like so many of you did to watch the 4K demo. I'm watching it right now. I have it pulled up here, and I guess I'm technically only running it in 1080. Yeah, well, what the hell is 1440p 60? I don't even know what the fuck that means. That's what I'm. It's higher than 1280, though. That's what I know. I'm looking there, and I think the game looks beautiful. The ray tracing looks beautiful. Like, the game looks good. I don't know what you were expecting. I saw so many people being like, look at this, it's Joel's face compared to that the other guy, the human in their face, and it's like, well, that's not an apt comparison. I think we already saw the Halo map and like how you, it's more open and you're able to go take on these checkpoints and this stuff. Like, that's not what Last of Us is. This it's similar to looking at something like Ghost of Tsushima, where I was talking about the concessions made there when I turned it on after having beaten Last of Us Part 2 and been like, oof, like, this is not the Last of Us, but that is a beautiful game that has a style and has a world it's building into. And that's what I think about this. To Aaron's thing of like, it's a work in progress, I think that would, if I was, and Aaron's great, Aaron's been great to Kind of Funny and IGN forever, but like, I would, if I was PR for that, I'd be like, oh, let's rephrase that, let's massage that a bit, because that makes it sound like we're coming out with a game that we're running at 70% graphical fidelity, and for the rest of their days now until this game's out, that people are going to point to that quote and be like, oh, you said it was a work in progress, but it still has the same.
It looks the exact same.
I didn't mean like there's going to be this huge jump. I didn't mean you're running around in a Maya build that's just gray box. Like, I didn't mean it like that. I think that's how people are going to do. But it's also, this is sadly video games where I think people get so loud about silly things that they don't need to worry about all the way. Like, it's exactly what he's saying in the second part of the quote, I feel, where, hey, you're watching a stream right now. You're not running it on an Xbox Series X or your PC or even your Xbox One X or whatever you're going to play it on. You don't know what it's really going to look like. You won't really know what those colors look like. Not to mention that it's something I've found in my years of playing games is that, and I guess even, I would say even more recently with Jen, my wife, being such an interested party in what I'm playing and sitting in that shotgun seat, the amount of times I'm playing something and she goes, oh my gosh, that looks bad. Or, oh, what is that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's something not happening in the direct cone of vision. It's over on the sides of the screen that you wouldn't be paying attention to. That, like, video games in so many ways are magic and are drawing your eyes to a very specific, drawing your eye to a very specific thing. That this is what we're trying to showcase. This is what we're trying to accomplish. This is the effect we're trying to pull off. Like, I saw people talking about pop-ins and draw distances and all these other things. Like, Halo Infinite's an unfinished game, and I think to get into a tizzy right now about how it looks or how it doesn't look is kind of silly and not worth it. It's similar to, I think, the Spider-Man puddles, when it was like, people were so pissed at Insomniac that the puddles weren't there, and they're like, they are there. They're on a different building. What are you talking about? Like, I thought the demo looked good, and I'm talking about graphics and art style and everything. I thought it looked pretty. I thought it looked colorful. I thought it looked beautiful. I thought it looked like Halo, which, again, is what I think they're going for. I think they came into this, maybe I'm talking out my ass, with, we want to get back to the roots of what Halo is and what does that look like, and it's this color palette and it's this thing, and that's a decision they made that takes them down a stylistic route, IMO.
Yeah.
What about you, Buzz?
I mean, I agree for the most
totally
part.
Totally unbiased party and Xbox outfits that I'm not mad I didn't get, even though Tim says they had a thing for me at FedEx, but it wasn't there when he got there.
I will say that in motion, I think it looked better than the actual still shots. Like, when I first saw those still screenshots, I was like, oh, this thing looks, you know, kind of ugly. But I don't necessarily think that that is the end all be all when it comes to what this game is going to be, right? Like, watching the gameplay yesterday, I was like, oh, shoot, this game looks amazing from the sense of, oh, yeah, it's an open world. Oh, yeah, the shooting looks fantastic. Like, oh, yeah, like the design, the look of it from, I guess, more so like the art direction perspective, you know, is really drawing me in, and I'm really digging what this thing is looking like it's going to be. From the graphical side of things, like, Aaron Greenberg's quote, I didn't like, because I don't think that's not necessarily how video games work. Yeah. Like, you kind of alluded to this, but to, like, from now till release, it's not like they're going to be turning up the graphics knob, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. You
know, more and more until, like, it looks better and better, right? It's not like they're going to continually, like, layer on new assets over and over and over again until you get the final version that looks incredible. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. And I think, yeah, to your point, when the game comes out and it looks exactly the same as it does now,
yep.
you're going to point back and be like, okay, so what did you mean by
and I get what he's saying, because it is right now this shotgun approach, and it's not because it's the shotgun of criticism that's coming at him and the Halo team right now. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, and chat, please sound off too, because I can see out of the corner of my eye, it seemed like people liked what they saw yesterday. It was just that afterwards, the, oh, there's pop in here. Oh, there is this screenshot that looks really weird. And for me, I think when you have that much stuff coming at you and you're Aaron Greenberg and you're trying to respond to it, I think you can start passing things together that don't need to go together, right? Where he's talking about, oh, well, it's a game. Well, I think he's talking about draw distances, pop-ins, like, you know, texture quality. Like, yeah, that is something that will be fixed as they go on, or what could be fixed as they go on. But I don't, yeah, like in terms of the world in general being barren or whatever, stuff like that, not having the right idea, like, that's a different conversation. And I think also, you know, to that screenshot that was kicked around, because what, it was Nibel, right? Nibelian?
Yeah.
Yeah, on Twitter, who does so much great stuff, showing that screenshot. I mean, like, I feel like I've seen this a gajillion times. And then Rocco from Omega 64 talking to it too. This is what we referenced. And it is that screenshots for games, and I'm not saying that, like, this gives them a pass for it, but again, this is Magic, and if you wanted to, I feel like you could honestly run around and make any game look ugly. I remember, you know, early IGN days, when we first got PlayStation came through, and they brought the developers of a game called Uncharted, and I had played this game Uncharted at an event. It was right after it had been given the title Uncharted, because before then it had some code name, and I forget what it is now, but I remember playing it at the event, and we were all so impressed that this protagonist's pants got wet when he went swimming. Like, this was such a cool thing. And they came through, and I think it was Evan Wells, and it was Evan and Christoph maybe even. And we sat there, we played the game. This is back in the day where we had to play them in these giant capture bays with this giant set of capture equipment. And you'd record it, and then they would leave, and then you would go in and clip stuff out, and you would also go in and make screenshots. So I had to go in and make clips for Uncharted and screenshots for Uncharted. And of course, I want to get as much stuff as possible, as much diverse stuff as possible. And I put it all out. And I remember it was one of the few times where after everything went up, I got an email from Sony PR. And this isn't going the way you think. This isn't them crossing a line in any stretch of the imagination. It was them hitting me. I'd be like, hey, you're allowed to do whatever you want, but screenshot whatever the fuck title number it is that went up yesterday, right, has a screen tear in it. And it's that they were very clear of, like, this happened. This literally happened. Like, you got it on camera, obviously, the screen tearing. It was like Drake split in half, right? From the, yeah. But they're like, you understand that that happens at that 1 second. And, like, you played the game. You didn't see a lot of screen tearing. We read your preview. It doesn't talk about screen tearing, right? Like, would you mind taking it down? And it was that thing for me of, like, oh, no, you're right. No, I'll take it down. That's fine. Thank you. I understand what you're saying. I understand the point you're making. And I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that this screenshot that they've shown here of, you know, the banished, right, standing there and, like, it being all weird and the textures being all not great is, like, clearly that's just one frame. But again, as I watch right now the 4K demo and I see, you know, Master Chief ziplining around, getting into the car whose name escapes me right now, doing all, like, I'm not looking at it being like, this thing is ugly as fuck, this is basic as fuck. I'm looking at it being like, this actually looks good. The reflections look great. Like, I like what I'm seeing. I like the frenetic action of it. And, like, Jesus, he just ran over one of the little dudes and there's blood blue stuff everywhere. Like, it looks good. I think, I'm not saying it, like, in, if I was just pause it right here and take this screenshot that you look at, then when I start picking it apart, I'm like, well, is it as detailed as whatever? I think it's got a style to it. And I think it's right now Much Ado About Nothing.
To this conversation, I want to bring in two questions. One from Groovy Muse and another one from OMG Turtles 73. OMG Turtles. Groovy Muse writes in and says, greeting KFGD crew. There's been a lot of online chatter about how Halo Infinite's graphics looked yesterday. Do you think Xbox should have been upfront about the game being an early build? Why market your most powerful franchise leading up to a gameplay reveal and then have it look the way it did? And then OMG Turtles writes in and says, hey guys, do you have faith that Halo Infinite will look a lot better by release? Personally, I do. I think it's a work in progress, which could not have had the same level of polish it normally would because of COVID and working from home. Still, do you think this kerfuffle could have any sort of impact on people's perception of the game? Thanks for all you do. Keep on trucking. OMG Turtles 73. And I think with all of this, that's kind of the main question I have is, like we see marketing for games all the time. This whole summer has been a huge marketing event for games that are upcoming, for games that are work in progress. Why is this the one that doesn't, like, I feel like so many cases we see the opposite thing happen, where we get, and this is like the OG Watchdog situation, right? We get a trailer and it's like, oh, this looks incredible. And then you get the actual game and you're like, okay, this doesn't look as good as the trailer, right? Like, I was watching a recent trailer for, I was watching an older trailer for Last of Us Part 2. And I was like, oh man, this trailer really has a lot more animations than in the final game. But it's a thing that I think we end up not caring about because we understand that that's marketing. We understand that, like, oh yeah, we can't expect these games to live up to the impossible expectations that we're seeing in trailers that are made with essentially like that work in progress in mind, right? Like, trailers are often made knowing that, okay, yeah, the final vision of this game is this, and like our goal is to hit this. And in reality, like, a lot of times they don't hit that because of how development goes. I feel like this is weird, is in terms of this game coming out and then putting out those screenshots, and those screenshots not necessarily looking great, because like it's them that's putting out the screenshots, right? Yeah. Like, it's not like it is an IGN or it is Digital Foundry or whoever that captured the screenshots and they end up looking unfortunate.
Yeah. So what's the question?
Do you think Xbox should have been more upfront about this game being an early builder? What do you think the communication should have been around that? I think
the problem, you started from a question of, you know, why is it this one? Why are we mad about this one, right? And I think it is the normal fact of it's Halo, and it is Xbox's biggest release. It is their console launch for the Xbox Series X. It is their 2020, right? And I'm not even being the joking, I hate PC and I'm a PlayStation fanboy guy. For a fan base that's been kicked around this long, this entire generation, right? Like, if you actually give a shit about a console or having people argue, or, you know, every time you're like, oh, I love my Xbox, people are like, what? There's no games on it. You've sat there and you've been like, Halo's going to be the fucking thing. Halo's going to be the fucking thing. Halo's going to be the fucking thing. And when you get there, and again, I know we talked about it a little bit yesterday, like, you're not a Halo guy either. And I look at that demo, the thing we saw yesterday, and I'm like, I do want to play a modern Halo. Playing Combat Evolved yesterday is like fun on a lark, but it does also like, what is going on? What? And Tim's trying to explain things to me, and I'm like, how do I even do this? Because it's a game out of time at this point. Like, and I've played Halo 3, 4, 5. Like, I've played these games. I have never connected one, and I don't connected with one. And I don't know if this would be the one. I am not a shooter guy, as you know. I love how Doom looks and plays, but I'm not. I don't play Doom. Like, this is one that I think so many hopes and dreams have been pinned to, of like, Halo Infinite will be the one to put Halo back on top of the Xbox pyramid. It'll be the one that shows you why you need to buy an Xbox Series X, and it'll be the one you and your friends, like you listen to Snowbike Mike on the Xcast, right? Like, he wants Halo Infinite to be a Halo game that people play every week, every day, right? In a similar way you play Fortnite or Warzone or whatever. He wants people committed to it that way, and not the usual 3 or 6 months you play with your friends and then drop out of it. And so right now, I think it's easy to drop, hey, here's our 8-minute demo. I, you know, just a student of the game, I guess, think it looks great and looks really interesting and looks really fun. And in the moment, everybody thinks it looks great and looks really fun. And then they get on the other side of it, and then guess what? Those 8 minutes now become 8 weeks. When's the next time we're going to get a Halo Infinite dump of information, right? Like, it goes back all the time to that quote from the movie that I'm now blanking on. But it's Alex P. Keaton talking to the president in American President, when he's talking, American President. Remember this? No. American President, the movie American President with Annette Bening
Air Force
Michael One. Douglas. Michael Douglas. Remember Richard Dreyfuss? If you don't remember, is also going to run for president, and he's like engaging in shitty tactics, and he's like making really personal attacks against the president, and the president's like, I'm not going to do that because he's, you know, what a president should be, staying above the fray and not going to get in the mud and wrestle with the fucking pig. And Michael J. Fox is like his whatever, secondhand man, press secretary, I'm not sure. And he's eventually like, you have to understand, Mr. President, the people are thirsty, and they've been walking in the desert, and they are so, so thirsty that they are willing to drink sand. Like, this guy is offering them sand and they're going to drink. Like, people are so thirsty and hungry for content right now that when you get it to them, they devour it. But then that means that the hunger is still there, and they're going to keep going over and over on it. And that's when you get picked apart screenshot by screenshot, moment by moment. And again, back to Spider-Man and the puddles, right? Like, This is our community that we're talking about. And I mean the video game community, not Kind of Funny Best Friends or anything. The video game community, which makes up a fraction of the actual sales of video games, where we are all fucking stuck at home right now. We are all living and dying for these events to try to break up the monotony of being sheltered in place and not having the 2020 we all thought we would have. And so, yeah, like, it is easy to kick around. And, like, I mean, we've all been in this life on the internet long enough to know there's nothing the internet loves more than a whipping boy. There's nothing. Oh, a good punchline, a Fallout 76, an Anthem, somebody to kick the fuck around. Like, Andy was making fun of it yesterday, right? Every time somebody popped into our chat while we were streaming Combat Evolved and was like, oh, is this the Halo Infinite demo? Thinking they were just the cleverest motherfucker on the planet, right? It's like, that's just how it is right now. But when we get closer, the next time you get more information on this game, when you get more information on the multiplayer suite, when, hopefully, knock on wood, it drops and it's awesome and it is great and it does look fucking stunning on your Xbox Series X. It looked good on your Xbox One X.
Yeah.
Like, that'll be the conversation. Those will be the things. It's I think, really akin to the hullabaloo you saw about the puddles, a little bit like you saw about Last of Us Part Two. Like, people want to talk about Halo and they want to be excited about it. And then it does lead to, okay, well, wait, this didn't look that good. And again, it's a game that, how long have we known about Halo Infinite? How long have we known that's going to be a launch title? Like, you do have hopes, expectations, right? Like, even though it wasn't, I still was hoping they were going to say it was a battle royale, even though I knew it wouldn't be a battle royale. Like, I think that'd be cool. Like, I'd like to see that. And I want to see the audience react to that. What, Greg, am I off course? You think, do you agree?
No, I agree. I think a big part of this is, like, yeah, I mean, I think this is kind of what the games community is, kind of what you're saying. Like,
yeah,
you know, we have the tendency to pick things apart and, like, you know, want to, you know, go through every single screenshot and, like, analyze and do all that stuff. I feel like, in a sense, this kind of feels like the opposite of the Puddles thing, because the Puddles thing was like, oh, y'all went and again, it was like a stupid kind of thing, but you guys went from having so many puddles in your trailers, now I look at the final game and it's like, where is all the puddles? And it's like, what the fuck kind of complaint is that? But in terms of marketing, I feel like it's kind of weird that they go this route into, like, and not necessarily, like, put out that cut vertical that is like, all right, here's the most polished, best looking part of the game, along with, like, reports we got yesterday that was like, oh yeah, we're gonna get ray tracing later. Like, I feel like there are certain things in regards to Halo Infinite that I feel like is interesting from the rollout of it, but I think that kind of comes with it being a launch title, it probably being not rushed, but, like, you know, with it needing to hit that date, there are probably certain things that they need to push back in order to make sure that happens. And that's not necessarily, like, them not completing the game. It's probably them being like, all right, how important is ray tracing to the game? Okay, we can get that in later. How important is this to the game? All right, let's get that in later.
Yeah.
I think with that, you're going to have this happen, right? With a game this big, with a game this important, with a game this meaningful to so many people, you're going to have people picking apart every single marketing piece for it. And, like, that's, I think all this is kind of natural for what Halo Infinite is. And that said, like, I'm, like, for me, as somebody who's not into Halo, I'm very much looking forward to it. Like, I'm very much, the trailer we saw yesterday, which is the same trailer that people are picking apart, is the same trailer that sold me on the game. Like, that's the same trailer that had me go, like, oh, shoot, this looks really fun. This looks like something that is fresh and that is, like, looking around at what other games are doing and being like, all right, how do we do that but better, right? Like, how do we bring in a grappling hook? How do we you know, go back to our open spaces and our open world and make that thing bigger and better? Like, I everybody's gonna take something different from
the trailer. The eye of the beholder, right?
Exactly. And I think it's still gonna come out and be good, which is the thing that's important about it.
And it's to your point, and I know we're trying to get the transition out, sorry, but I just want to make one that I thought was interesting of just, like, I think Halo yesterday had to do so much heavy lifting, if that makes sense, right? Where I think when we all got on the other side of that, it was like, all right, cool, but, like, all right, like, where were the giant AAA thing? All right, Fable got confirmed at the end, but it wasn't gameplay, so it was like, oh, we already knew Fable's happening. And granted, that's because, you know, we're following the industry, you see leaks and yada, yada, yada. Like, it's all how you want to spin any of this, where I think so many people are excited that it's Halo back to its roots and it looks like Halo. People want that stuff. Whereas I think, you know, I saw in the Spider-Man subreddit, somebody one of those posts of, oh, I just noticed this. And it was from one of the Miles trailers of him doing a kick that is super reminiscent, if not the exact same thing, as Spider-Man in his first trailer or whatever, when the Spider-Man PS4 trailer dropped. And I was like, oh, what a cool thing. He learned that from him, right? And it's like, yeah, but if I want to scroll four more comments down, I know I'm going to find somebody who's like, they're just going to reuse the same animations and then try to sell it that Peter taught Miles how to fight like him. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. To keep on the Microsoft side of things, story number two, even Rare isn't sure about what Everwild. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Rare hasn't discussed Everwild much yet because it's still exploring how the title's core themes will translate into gameplay. According to studio head Craig Duncan, and before I even continue here, right, like this is another one that's piggybacking off of discussions we had yesterday coming off of the Xbox Game Showcase where we talked about Everwild, and I remember it was me and Andy, and I think Snow White Mike, that were all like, all right, Snow White Mike was like, so yeah, what is the game? Because we've not seen gameplay. And Andy's like, oh yeah, I mean, I think it's gonna be this, this, and this. And I was like, oh, I think it's gonna be this, this, and this, right? Like, none of us really know what Everwild is.
Yeah.
So to continue with the news story, Everwild was officially announced at Microsoft's XO19 event in November 2019, when it was confirmed that the title was still in pre-production. Set in a natural and magical world, Everwild is being helmed by executive producer Louise O'Connor, a Rare veteran who has worked on animation for Conker's Bad Fur Day and Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, and studio creative director Simon Woodroff, whose last game was Sumo's Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. Providing an update on Everwild in an interview with Polygon, Duncan described it as a very unique game. Quote, "We learned a lot from Sea of Thieves. At its heart, we love the idea of Sea of Thieves and players creating stories together. I think with Everwild, Louise and her leadership team are really passionate about giving players a world that they can lose themselves in. You know, a lot of nature feels magical. So the notion of what does it mean to nurture a world? What does it mean to be in nature? Part of the reason we haven't talked a lot about Everwild is because we're still feeling a lot of these things out. We're still playing around with gameplay ideas. We'll have plenty to say in the future on that, but we have an idea we feel really passionate about, and think there's something special. I have a team of people that wake up every morning with the desire to make a game, to make this game that they're really, really passionate about." End quote. Greg,
my question is, are they passionate about it?
I mean, I think they're very passionate about it.
They sound like they're passionate about this game.
They sound so passionate.
Very passionate.
I think this story told me two things. One, this game is further off than I thought, because I was thinking like, oh yeah, maybe we'll see this game next year. And again, like this is another one of those ones where I'm like, oh, maybe this game is probably like 2022, 2023. But also, I'm now kind of more on Andy's side as far as what he thought it was, because he started describing like co-op and similar to like kind of what Sea of Thieves is. And them kind of talking about here about like, yeah, we love Sea of Thieves for this, this, and this. And like create, then, you know, them saying specifically, right, players creating stories together. That seems to me like something they really take pride in, something that they want to take and run with, because I think that's the most impressive thing about Sea of Thieves. From the little time I've spent playing Sea of Thieves, the fun that I found out of it was like this feeling of freedom that I found playing with my friends, right? Like it's not structured really. Like there are certain things you're doing, at least when I was playing, like there was a limited amount of things you were doing, right? Like you're going to islands, taking out the skeletons, collecting treasure, fighting the Kraken, doing all that stuff. But ultimately what it came down to was like, oh yeah, go your own direction, do your own thing, have your own fun, live in this world. And you know, them citing the idea of, oh yeah, we love players creating stories together. You know, in the quote, you know, they continue, "I think with Everwild, Louise and her leadership team are really passionate about giving players a world that they can just lose themselves in." That sounds akin to Sea of Thieves. And to me, that sounds like Everwild is going to be more so of a, hey, you know, co-op experience. You're in this magical wild world. You get to you know, do what maybe Andy was saying, right? Which is like, you know, have a kinship or have a relationship with these animals that'll then help you on your journey or whatever. But ultimately, freedom seems to be the goal here, which I think could be really cool. Greg, does this strike any interest in you when it comes to Everwild?
I mean, I think Rare is incredibly talented. And I think when you watch the Everwild trailer from yesterday, again with this, even though we're talking about the fact they're still working on what the gameplay is, right? I think you start seeing it in there even, right? Because there is this part of, do you remember it well? Because I'm looking at it right now. I'm cheating.
The trailer?
Yeah.
Like, I mainly remember the big creature that had a bunch of fish fall out of his mouth. That's like the main thing I remember.
Exactly. Yeah. When you look at the actual characters around the campfire, though, and then also at the end when they're resurrecting the deer that was hurt or whatever, you notice that they're all in similar outfits, but all in different colors. And then when you like, you know, there's like different primary colors of like yellow, blue, and then this like turquoise and this darker red. And when you skip it to the very front of the trailer and watch it again with a little more context, you see them basically walking with what I would describe as their pet. Or whatever, maybe their partner. Mm-hmm. When you start thinking about a game that, like for me with Sea of Thieves, you know, I think it's a cool idea. We're going to do a party mode for it when it first launched. And when we turned on all the Xboxes, Andy's hadn't updated. So that was the end of that. We never did it again. And I've never touched it since, outside of events. But when I'm playing it at events, and so I could totally be wrong. What gets me about it is I'm like, oh, this seems like a fun game to play with your friends, but I'd rather it be, and then stick with me, something more like The Division, where I can go do a bunch of work on my own, and then when I want to team up with other people, I can team up with other people, even Monster Hunter to a degree, right? And so as I look here, I'm looking at like 37 seconds in, there's the woman in yellow walking around with her big pet that is also has yellow markings on it. And so that gives me the idea of like, what if it is that in Everwild, I'm in this giant, you know, foresty world or whatever, world of nature, right? Where I'm having my own adventures, I'm doing my own things, but when I run into other characters or I need other characters' help, like you, Bless, I can call you in and do it, right? Because even when you jump to 52 seconds then, it's the, I think, woman in blue, maybe man in blue. Oh, man in blue, he's got a beard. Who's working with another giant pet to tear down a tree who also shares the same blue he has. And it seems like if I have in this game a pet companion with me that's like we're, you know, Batman and Robin kind of thing or whatever, or even for you, it's like a Trico situation. If it's that, then I do get to team up with two other players who also have their pets to go run missions and stuff. That starts interesting me, that are making me interested in what that world would be and what we'd be doing in it. Obviously, there's a lot more to it. The trailer is beautiful, but yeah, what is the gameplay? What is the world? Are we off base? Like, it'll be interesting to see what they come up with, but yeah, it's definitely a ways out still.
To keep with this Xbox train, since our first three stories all have to do with Xbox. Story number three, Don't Nods Tell Me Why aims for a transgender story not rooted in pain or trauma. This is James Batchelor at GamesIndustry.biz. Life is Strange developer Don't Nod Entertainment has said it will avoid telling a transgender story, quote, rooted in pain and trauma, end quote, in the upcoming Tell Me Why, in order to avoid further propagating the stereotype. The studio added an FAQ to the game's website following a new trailer and release date during yesterday's Xbox Game Showcase. Warning that the answers contain spoilers, the team revealed that each of Tell Me Why's multiple endings will have an optimistic future for Tyler, the transgender character, who serves as one of the game's two protagonists. The character was assigned female at birth, but identifies as male. Quote, because so many mainstream narratives about trans people are rooted in pain or trauma, it was important to our team to tell a different, more multi-dimensional story with Tyler, the studio wrote. The team also emphasized that Tyler's transition was not the result of childhood trauma, with promises of scenes that depict him expressing himself as a boy prior to his mom's death. Quote, the idea that being transgender is caused by trauma is a stereotype that has no basis in fact, and it plays no role in Tyler's story, the team wrote. By extension, the game will not depict any transphobia against Tyler beyond some ignorant comments and microaggressions from characters in the opening chapter who haven't seen him since transition. From the second chapter onwards, all interactions are respectful. Tyler is also never referred to by his birth name or dead name. Tell Me Why is an episodic adventure series, much in the same vein as Don't Nod's flagship franchise, Life is Strange. It'll be exclusive to Xbox One and PC, and the first episode will be released on August 27th, 2020. Greg, I thought this was interesting, mainly for the idea of the studio putting out an FAQ that contains spoilers for their upcoming game. Yeah. You know, for the purpose of being like, hey, all cards to the table, this is how we're handling these things. Like, this is what you can expect from our game, you know, especially with the themes that they're touching on, which I think is pretty cool. Greg, I don't know if you had any thoughts.
Oh, I think it's great. Like, you know, from the jump of this one, when this, you know, started making the rounds, obviously, Tell Me Why, and it was going to have a trans main character and stuff. It's the same question I think you see rightfully asked whenever a trans person or I guess a minority is represented in a video game of, that's awesome, representation matters, we want to see that. Who do you have on the team who's working on making sure that's accurate, right? How do you want to go about that? What do you want to do? We saw it with, you know, spoiler. Well, I don't want to spoil anything. We saw it recently in another game. We've seen it in other stuff. We right now, Deadly Premonition 2, right, is in a whole brouhaha about it because, like, Swery clearly doesn't fucking get it. Thinks he's fixed it, and everybody's like, no, you didn't fix it at all. When you do this, it is that point of like, great, representation matters, and we want to see these stories, but we want to see them done right. And so when this got announced and it was Don't Nod doing it, I was immediately like, okay, you don't give anybody blind faith anymore, especially in 2020. But Don't Nod, I do know pretty well from covering the Life is Strange games and getting to talk to them and hang out with them. And it's like, yeah, they are for the most. I'm painting with a broad brush. The people who come and do the podcast, and Michelle being like the front facing person of it, are white French dudes, right? Who like I don't know anything about their sexuality or anything like that, so I won't go that far. But they're white French dudes that you do worry about, like, okay, cool. And even with Life is Strange 2, right, that dealt with race as such a topic, it was like, how are you handling this? And especially race in all the struggles of racial relations in America, how do you deal with that? So I always thought they had good answers for that. I thought, again, I'm just a straight white idiot dude too. So like, I thought they handled it well and did what I always love about these games, which is give me a glimpse into someone else's shoes. I think what our medium is so good at is letting you actually become a character, or at least be friends with a character you maybe a minority you've never met, so you understand the struggle a bit more. Anyways, all that said, I was like, I trust they're going to do this in the correct way, or the right way, in a way that's respectful. I think this is what we want, which is another level of showing that respect. I think the classic way to do this would have been to put out the trailer and have people be, wait, is this going to be like this? Is it going to be tropey? Is it going to be this? And you'd be like, no, but we don't want to say too much more. We'll let you play it. This was a better way of doing it, of like, listen, our game's all about narrative and we're going to just put it up here. And there's spoilers in here for the interactions. And like you said, that the endings are positive, but we're not telling you the actual narrative. We're more, by process of elimination, telling you what's not going to happen in this game, which I think is, again, awesome, because you want to have the community you're trying to represent behind you and understand why you're doing this, and you want them supporting you as much as you're trying to support them, if that makes sense.
Yes, and I think especially, you mentioned, right, we've had a few games come out recently that had trans characters or dealt with trans issues, right? And from both of them, I've heard people take issue with certain things that they did, especially with Deadly Premonition, which was attempted to be fixed. And that's why I think that's the main reason I find this FAQ not only interesting but valuable, because when it comes to something like dead naming or certain other issues that trans people face, especially like stuff like, so many stories with trans characters are rooted in some sort of like trauma, or rooted in some sort of like violence or darkness, right? And that tends to be a thing that is true with a lot of marginalized characters in not only games but TV stories in general. And so like, if I'm coming to Tell Me Why curious about representation and how they're going about it, that probably would be my first question, like going into the game, like, all right, am I about to play another game where a trans character is dead named, or am I about to play another game where a trans character ends up like, either killed or killing somebody, or things are super fucked up in some sort of way that leans into tropes that we've seen before in other games. And so to have this FAQ available for people to be like, hey, we're not doing this and this, expect this as sort of like this refreshing glance on what you can expect in a game. Yeah. I think that's really cool and actually like really important. So shout out to them. Now, we've talked about Halo Infinite, we've talked about Everwild, we've talked about Tell Me Why, all which were present at yesterday's Xbox Game Showcase. And with that, I have a question here from Travis Gajkowski that writes in and says, good morning, KFGD. AA Gaming is back and is called Xbox Game Studios. Yesterday's presentation made it clear that Xbox has found a third path from PlayStation and Nintendo. Nintendo targets children, parents, and lapsed gamers. PlayStation is the home of massive AAA blockbuster single-player narrative, and Xbox is the best value in video games. And being the best value in games means that you aren't going to have the biggest, most exciting games available. Even Halo Infinite, which looks great, is not pushing technical boundaries in the way that Sony's first-party offerings do. But Xbox does not seem interested in fighting that battle. Do you think this approach is going to work for Microsoft? Do you think that Microsoft's slate of AA titles can put up similar numbers to PlayStation's exclusives via Game Pass? Greg, I don't know if you've thought about this much, but this is actually a thing I've been thinking about quite a bit over the last 24 hours as we've been...
Sure. There's a lot of good think pieces getting written about it, too.
Yeah, like coming off of yesterday's Xbox Game Showcase, because I know for me personally, immediately after, I was like, ooh, I'm not blown away by this thing. And I can't put my finger on what it is, but like something about it is not, you know, didn't strike me as exciting or didn't strike me as like the next step to what gaming can be in the same way, especially like coming off of PlayStation's event, like in the same way that did. And I think this, like what Travis is kind of getting at here is part of it. Because yeah, like when we look at so much of what Xbox game studios are putting out, right? Like we're looking at games like Tell Me Why, we're looking at games like Everwild, we're looking at games like
Grounded.
Like the Psychonauts 2, which I know they started on beforehand, but like Double Fine in general, right? Like even Hellblade 2, Senua's Saga, which I would say is one of the most anticipated games coming out of Xbox game studios currently. A thing about Hellblade 1 that I think made that game special is how AA it was and how it balanced that perfectly, you know, in terms of, hey, we're putting budget where it matters, but this game is going to be 6 hours and it's telling a meaningful story. And, you know, certain parts of it aren't going to be as polished as the biggest games out there, but it's I think they called it III, so like indie AAA, which I'm just going to call AA. But, you know, that's what you could expect out of it. And Hellblade 2, I don't know how much more AAA that game is going to be than Hellblade 1, which I find to be fascinating from the Xbox side. I don't know if you have thoughts on any of this.
I don't want it to be more AAA than Hellblade 1, right? I think you have something very special with Hellblade, and I think you should continue to do that. And I think that that team, which was so small, right? I always fuck this up, but the woman who is the character of Senua, right? She was what? Yeah. I forget. She was like
She was like the video
editor, rather, or something,
video
like
editor
that?
Or something like that. Yeah, her name was
kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Please correct us on that. But it is that thing that, you know, she just got put into that role and they were like, oh, fuck, you're actually really good at it. Why don't you stick around and do the whole thing? And it's like, I think that scrappy attitude makes a very specific game and makes it in a very fast, I shouldn't say very fast, but a quicker timetable than a big bloated AAA team. I think what Xbox, you know, has talked about, and I still believe we're seeing it, but it is proof in the pudding kind of thing of, bringing on Double Fine, bringing on Ninja Theory, and being like, hey, cool, you're really good at making this kind of game. Keep making that kind of game. We're not coming in here and saying, cool, triple your team size, move to this different place, get a hangar, let's go that way. It's no, like, make the games you want to make and then make the games you're good at. You know, partnering with Don't Nod for Tell Me Why, again, makes perfect sense. 3 episodes, as we were talking about yesterday. Like, tell your story. Do you have a story? We'd love to see it. What would it be? Doesn't matter if it's short or long, it's going into Xbox Game Pass and really bolstering that system. And I think that's the question, right? Like Travis asked, do you think this approach is going to work for Microsoft? I do. I think that it's what you've seen. It's what Tim said yesterday, right? Tim said it yesterday on the post show of like, Xbox isn't in a console war anymore. That's not what they're fighting. PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo are all fighting very different wars right now. Not even fighting, I guess, is the thing. They're all marching their own beat. They're all doing their own thing. And sure, that thing is selling video games, but it's all selling it very differently. Where I do think that Xbox's approach is going to work, because I think, especially with xCloud, especially with PC attachment, especially with every version of the Xbox basically on the market running the games that are out there, that gets you in. And maybe it doesn't get you in the way I had always said, like maybe, you know, you come in, you're using it, you're like, oh my God, I'm playing Halo Infinite on my Xbox One X, or I'm playing it on my PC through xCloud, or I'm playing it on my phone through xCloud. And you're like, I should really get a Series X. Maybe that doesn't work that way, but who cares if you're giving them the money month after month? You're playing those games month after, paying for those games month after month and getting things like this. And it is a thing of getting AA games in there that are exclusive to the platform or console launch exclusives or whatever that are giving you enough reason to stay around and play things there first and stick around and keep that subscription going and make it worth your while.
Yes. And I think that's such a big thing for them right now. And like, I'm still kind of coming to terms with how I feel about it overall as a strategy, because I'm still in the place where I'm like, okay, well, standard K3 isn't necessarily going to do it for me, right? Like, whatever the We Happy Few studio, whose name I can never remember, whatever they're working on next,
Compulsion.
I don't know. Compulsion, yes. Whatever Compulsion's next game is, like, I don't know if that's necessarily going to be for me, because historically their games haven't been for me, right? Like, there's so much there that we saw yesterday that I was like, like, none of this really feels like it's for me. But to the whole argument of them building an ecosystem and building Game Pass and building xCloud and building all these different things, right? Like, that, the more I stay with it, the more I'm digging the direction, the more I'm like, okay, there's something here. I think for me, the challenge now comes down to how do you build excitement? And I asked this question yesterday, but like, and I still don't really have the answer, right? Like, what are we looking forward to from Xbox in 2021 that's huge? And I don't think we necessarily have a concrete answer on that. And even when it comes to like their big franchises that we know of, right? Like, Halo Infinite is going to be a launch title, and that's great, and that's awesome, right? Like, when's the next Gears? They announced Forza Motorsport, but like, when can we expect that, and what does that mean for that franchise?
Yeah.
You know, like, they have The Initiative, which is working on their quadruple A game, right? Like, when do we eventually get that? I feel like there's so much that they're working on too that is also like far out. Like, at this point, I'm convinced that Everwild and Hellblade 2 are far out. And so, like,
Hellblade's next year. Take it to the bank,
man. Do we want to make this bet?
I'll make a pizza bet right now with you. Hellblade 2021.
Dope. I'm saying after 2021. Okay. So shake on it. Boom. We shook.
Done.
But even with that, I feel like even though they're marching to the beat of their own drum, I think even though they're marching to, you know, in the correct direction, I'm curious to see, like, and I don't really have a good metaphor to add into this metaphor, but like, you know, how big can they make that march essentially? Like, what's going to keep that march, you know, energized, if that makes sense?
Well, I understand that. But I think it's honestly what it'll be is a shake up of how we think about all this stuff. I think that, you know, the past few years, it's been that struggle on multiple fronts for multiple different things of trying to shake us from the traditional way of thinking. And I mean, the traditional way of revealing a console and revealing a game lineup, right? That we've seen shaken up this year. I think I'm pulling from the chat here, right? Sea Order 1988 says, I hope Don't Nod's new game is a timed exclusive. Inferring, of course, you, and I'm extrapolating here, and I'm also not throwing you under the bus here. That Tell Me Why is going to come to PlayStation eventually, right? My response to that would be, I get that and I understand that, but immediately I go, why? Why do you care if it's a console exclusive anymore? Because think of it this way. They announced afterwards, it is a console exclusive. Guess what? Tell Me Why is coming out 6 months later to the PlayStation 4/5. You can get it for $30, $25, whatever. You can play, theoretically, and I'm playing fast and loose a little bit with the timeline, but you understand where I'm going with this and where I think our argument's going to change. Every day this fucking doctor calls me during this one show and then doesn't return the phone call elsewise. It's the argument that, sure, you can buy it for $25, we'll say, on PlayStation 6 months from now, but when xCloud is a real thing and just ready to go and run on anything, why wouldn't you spend the $15, the $14.99, or if you're starting for the first time with Xbox Ultimate, $1? To get in and play those three episodes now and then cancel it. Like, I think that's the rationale we need to, you start worrying. And don't get me wrong, I'm a trophy hunter. I get all that. I love my platinums. I love my ecosystem. There's definitely going to be games that come to Xbox Game Pass and I look at and I go, cool, I'll wait. That's because I'm busy. I'm prioritizing. I'm you know, putting things in. Like we've talked about before, if they did this, a bad example because there's so many caveats, but if the next Batman game, the next Superman game, whatever, was exclusive to, or had it timed exclusive to Xbox, I'm playing that day and day, day one on Xbox. I'm not waiting for that to come to PlayStation. I'll probably replay the Ghostbusters game, right? If you're that into Don't Nod, if you're that into Tell Me why wouldn't you fork over the $14, get the game $6 cheaper, maybe even $10 cheaper, play it immediately. And again, I'm saying play it to your phone, play it to your iPad, play it to your computer. I'm not saying you don't own an Xbox, maybe you don't own a gaming PC again. Remember, xCloud eliminates all that. I'm talking, again, what happens in September when this deal finally happens. I think when that starts happening, that'll be interesting. And for me personally, that'll be, in terms of me personally as a pundit who takes it on the chin a lot when we have conversations of like, Greg doesn't understand the value of a dollar anymore. He gets all his games for free, which I get all my games for free for the most part, which is very true. I like to imagine I still do understand the value of a dollar. When this goes that way, when it is this conversation of, guess what, motherfucker, you have an Xbox in your hand. It's your phone. You have the ability to play these games, and especially something like a Don't Nod game that isn't, for the most part, QuickTime or, you know, Twitch gaming. It is making choices and walking around and exploring a thing. Why wouldn't you do that? And then once you, and that's when it really, the Trojan horse stuff starts happening. Mm-hmm. Cool. I got it for a month for Don't Nod. I played all three episodes. It was 9 hours. I have half a month left. I might as well play something else. Oh, this is cool. You know what? I'll let it go another month. I was going to cancel it after 1 month, but why not let it go? And then you see people stay, or you see them cancel and they come back and they keep getting these timed exclusives, get them in. And again, it's going to be interesting for something like a Don't Nod. But what about when the next Cuphead drops, where it is a game that everybody's like, Outer Worlds, right?
Yeah, the DLC.
No, Outer Wild.
You're thinking about the Outer Wild.
Yeah. A game that drops that everybody's like, holy shit, this is awesome. Yeah.
Or like
holy
Void fuck. Bastards or Streets of Rage 4.
Yeah, but Void Bastards didn't get that much juice, right? Like, but it is like something.
Some, though. Like a little bit.
A little bit of juice. But I'm saying like something that comes along where everybody is having that moment of like, holy shit, this game's awesome. And you can get it for a fucking dollar right now. Are you really going to sit there and be like, what I want? I have hope it'll come to PlayStation. I have hope it'll be there eventually. I don't know. That's Xbox's bet. And I think right now it sounds a bit preposterous because we're all so used to the console war and how it goes. But I think when we get to September and this thing drops and people start using xCloud for the first time, like, holy fuck, this actually works really well. And like literally it's like, oh my God, my controller syncs right to my phone and I'm there. I have it ready to go. Even with my other ones, like, it's going to be interesting. And I think that this is what we're talking about of like, to the question that we're way away from now or whatever, but Travis talking about Xbox seeming to be more AA than AAA. Of course, there's AAA games from Xbox. Of course, they have Xbox Game Studios working on AAA, but they do have a lot of AA stuff in there. I would say Grounded is a AA game that has me interested. I want to play that. I want to see what that's about. Will I stick around? I don't know, but guess what? This one did cost me a dollar because for Xbox, for Halo Combat Evolved, I needed to up my membership again. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And I did it. Like, maybe that is enough. Maybe that gets me in. It's once you have the Netflix of gaming, you actually start using it, right?
Greg, I said at the top of the show that we have 7 stories today, and that was story number 3. And so we're going to get into story number 4. But before we do, let me tell you about our sponsor, of course. You can watch the show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames if you want to get it ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Klarna. Thanks to Klarna for supporting Kind of Funny Games Daily. In Sweden, they don't shop, they Klarna. Klarna is a revolutionary new online shopping app from Sweden that allows you to shop thousands of online stores and pay for anything in 4 easy, interest-free payments that makes shopping smoother. With the Klarna app, you can shop anywhere online from the one app. It's easy to use and convenient to browse thousands of online stores from one convenient place. You can pay for anything in 4 interest-free payments. Paying after delivery allows you to try before you buy, and you can also report returns directly in the app. You can also get the best deals with customized price drop alerts on items you've saved to your wish list. It's always good to shop smarter and save money. Tim loves how easy it is to find what you're looking for and get set up. Klarna is a smoother, friendlier, Swedisher way to shop online. It's the one-stop shopping app for browsing and buying anything online. All in one app, it allows you to pay for anything in 4 easy, interest-free payments. Download the Klarna app today. That's K-L-A-R-N-A, Swedish for shopping. Story number 4, Ghost of Tsushima is selling like hotcakes. I'm pulling this from at PlayStation on Twitter. He tweeted this morning, Ghost of Tsushima is now PS4's fastest selling first party original IP debut, which is a long qualifier.
Let's start dropping a lot of asterisks in there.
So let me say that again. PS4's fastest selling first party original IP debut, with more than 2.4 million units sold through globally in its first 3 days of sales. Congratulations at Sucker Punch Productions, and thank you to our fans around the world for taking part of this journey, of Jin's journey, right? And so first party, fastest selling first party original IP debut basically means that, yeah, it didn't sell as much as God of War or Spider-Man, but it did sell more than Horizon Zero Dawn is basically like the sum of it. Added context here from Brendan Sinclair at gamesindustry.biz. Sony didn't indicate what game Ghost of Tsushima toppled for that title, but 2017's Horizon Zero Dawn is a likely candidate, having sold 2.6 million copies in its first few weeks on sale. While it topped the list of original IP, Ghost of Tsushima still fell far short of the sales of some PS4 exclusives based on established franchises. God of War sold 3.1 million copies in its first 3 days on sale, while Spider-Man sold 3.3 million, Final Fantasy VII Remake sold 3.5 million, and The Last of Us Part II sold 4 million, all posted progressively higher 3-day sales totals. Okay, I see what they did there. Yeah, so those all sold better in the first 3 days. Cool. Good news. That's awesome.
Yeah, honestly.
I'll say, honestly, I'm surprised that it outsold Horizon. That's like the biggest thing for me. But I guess more PS4s out there.
Exactly. More PS4s. I also think that it's an easier sell to wrap your head around. Hey, we made a samurai. It's Assassin's Creed Samurai. Or it's a Kurosawa film that you play. Versus, hey, you're in the past, it looks like. But guess what? Robot dinosaurs. You're like, what the fuck is this thing about? But yeah, no. Great. Hats off to them. I know yesterday, in a similar thing to what's happening right now, we went so long on the show. I had put a second story on that yesterday that actually in Japan, there's a shortage of physical copies of Ghost of Tsushima because it's selling so well.
Wow. So again, congratulations. That's really awesome. Story number five, Red Dead Online is receiving a massive new update next week. This is from Matt Perslow at IGN. Red Dead Online is set to receive a massive update next week that adds a new frontier pursuit, as well as tons of community-requested features. The update will land on Tuesday, July 28th. The frontier pursuit has yet to be detailed, but Rockstar promises that it's an all-new role focused on naturalism. In addition, the update adds a new outlaw pass, a variety of community-requested features and fixes, as well as a vague promise of more to discover in the months to come. The update comes in the wake of in-game protests by players upset by the lack of updates for Red Dead Online. Earlier this week, players gathered in mass dressed as clowns to signal their disappointment in the amount of content support for the game offered by Rockstar. So cool. Cool stuff. This actually, you know what? I want to bring in a question from Weissmark. I was going to skip it, but I think this brings up an interesting point.
Okay.
Weissmark writes in and says, "Good morning, KFG crew. It looks like the power of peaceful protest won out, and Red Dead Online will be getting an update. My question is whether you think this update is enough to keep Red Dead Online relevant and growing. I'm reminded of the early days of GTA Online, where it was riddled with technical problems and didn't have much to do at all. Back then, nobody could have imagined it would be as big as it is now. But I don't see the huge potential of Red Dead Online without a massive investment from Rockstar." And I think this brings up an interesting point because I was there playing GTA Online, you know, at the start of it. When it was broken, when people were not happy, I was there.
Yeah, I lived it.
I went to war. I did all that good stuff. And it was early 2015, where they added the heist update. And I feel like that was the one that kind of, like, I feel like for the first couple of years, GTA Online wasn't that bad. Like, it was only that bad at its launch when, like, you literally couldn't connect. But slowly, like, after that, like, it started getting better. Then, yeah, Heist was kind of the one that really brought it back and really brought people in. Mm-hmm. For Red Dead, we've passed that two-year mark. Like, we've passed the point, I think, where GTA Online was at when that game started to make its big comeback, even though comeback doesn't feel like the big word, but the bigger splash, if you will. I don't know what my expectation is now for the end point of Red Dead Online, or like the end goal, I should say, of Red Dead Online. Like, I don't know if that game is going to be able to make any similar splash that GTA Online.
No, did. I don't think so. I think it's got an audience that people want to support and. I'm sorry. I think Rockstar has an audience with it that they want to support and do stuff with. But yeah, it didn't put up GTA Online numbers, so I don't think it has the legs that GTA Online did, which I think is already evident by the fact that you started the PlayStation 5 event, right, with the GTA 5 trailer being like, calm down, everybody. The game you still play and sink millions of dollars into is coming to PlayStation 5, and we will be happy to take your money for shark cards. Yeah, I think that they have an audience there that they, you know, tried to learn from, but it didn't take the same way. And part of that is support and, you know, the trade-off back and forth to it. But I also think that, you know, GTA and the, I guess, technological advancements of San Andreas, right, speak loudly, more loudly to people than the cowboy fantasy. And I, you know, I hate to burst the bubble of the questionnaire, too. Like no. This isn't, we reported on the peaceful protest, the clown thing, like, last week, right? Like, this is the Raimi suit all over again with Spider-Man, where clearly they were working on this. And I think the peaceful protest of people in the community being like, these are features we want in updates eventually, probably over months and months and months being there. Yeah, that got heard. But this isn't being forced by last week's clown protest. That's just an unfortunate thing that we came to the same tipping point where they were ready to announce it is right when people were getting really pissed off too.
Exactly. Story number six, Suikoden's creators are crowdfunding a spiritual successor. This is Andrew Webster at The Verge. Some of the key creators behind beloved Suikoden franchise are attempting to crowdfund a spiritual successor. Today, a new team called Rabbit and Bear Studios announced an upcoming Kickstarter campaign to fund Ayuden Chronicle, a role-playing game designed to evoke PlayStation-era nostalgia. The campaign will debut on July 27th, and the team is led by Yoshitaka Murayama, a director and writer on the first two Suikoden titles. Quote, "This is a new title for me," Murayama tells The Verge. They continue, "or rather is a combination of all my experiences as a creator and trying to expand on that base," end quote. Aside from Murayama, Rabbit and Bear features an impressive list of talent that includes Junko Kawano, the lead artist on Suikoden 1 and 4, Junichi Murakami, art director on Castlevania Aria of Sorrow, Suikoden Tactics director Osamu Komuta, and composers Motoi Sakuraba and Michiko Naruke. For fans of the Suikoden franchise, which debuted in 1995 but has been dormant for many years, the new game will sound very familiar. Ayuden Chronicle is described as a, quote, "ode to the classic JRPG genre from the PlayStation era that will feature classic JRPG exploration and battles in high-resolution 2.5D graphics with a story of war and friendship and a diverse cast of 100 unique heroes," end quote. If the crowdfunding campaign is successful, Ayuden Chronicle is expected to launch in the fall of 2022 on PC with other platforms possible, depending on stretch goals. And this game looks cool. We don't have time to show the teaser trailer unless Kevin's already been showing it. But basically, it looks almost like Octopath Traveler, which I think is really cool. Really exciting stuff. And I've been seeing people really excited about it on Twitter, including Jason Schreier, who apparently
I saw Jason
really
Schreier freaking out about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Our last story of the day, story number seven, G4 seems to be back. Greg, I'm going to pass this one over to you with no warning, because like this is one that was breaking as we started.
And Kevin, I saw this Twitter right here, there's a Twitter video, and there's not much to say. There's a Twitter video teasing that G4 is back. It debuted during IGN's Comic-Con coverage, and if you're an audio listener, the trailer, and you know, if you're an audio listener and then a G4 fan, you'll see, or you would have seen, going through basically what looks to be like a warehouse, kind of where they would keep the crypt or whatever that Indiana Jones would capture, right? The Ark of the Covenant. Like, there's all these crates that have G4 references on there, like the fucking pudding, the giant fucking thing of pudding and all this other stuff. And then there's, at the very back of the room, a Pong game that's been going on for basically since G4 signed off. It's like 9 million or something to 9 million whatever. It's a cute little thing that then is like, all of a sudden G4 is back, it seems. Like, the G4 Twitter account is back to being the G4 Twitter account. I think I saw that the G4 Instagram account is back to being G4. It says incoming transmission at the end of this, and then it has the G4 transition noise.
Yeah,
and
then it says 2021, right?
Yeah, so there's the G4 logo back up, and then, yeah, 2021.
Really exciting stuff. I'm very curious on what this means as far as, like, what shows they're able to bring back, if they're able to bring back any of
them. And that's the whole thing. Is it really, is G4 back? Is, like, fucking like as a TV Adam channel? Sessler back? Like, yeah, is it a TV channel? Is it a website? Is it a YouTube channel? Is it the people we know? Is it brand new people? Like, there's a whole bunch of questions to it, but it's, like, that's neat. That's cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like, G4 had an audience, so it'll be neat to see what happens. G4 was an interesting thing, but it's also fascinating because that Venn thing just got announced this week too, which is basically like kept saying we're like G4 was ahead of its time, yada yada yada, and it's like they're going to be a video game channel and have online presence, and they kept referencing G4, and then like by the end of the week, G4 is like, we're back too, motherfucker, and it's like, ah, shit.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I feel like for so many people too, at least for me, G4 is like my first interaction with like games media. You know, like, yeah. G4 was like my first exposure to like, you can talk about video games on content, or like be a host talking about video games, which is really cool. And yeah, like Attack of the Show, Cinematech, which is one that I feel like not enough people talk about, which was literally just like trailer after trailer after trailer. Like, it was that show that just showed trailers for a good 30 minutes to an hour. I used to be obsessed with that. And so I hope to see that return. But yeah, very curious, but yeah, very excited about what that's going to be. But Greg, G4's return is so far away. I wanted to know what's coming out to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
You go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got Tanberg for PS4 and Xbox One, Rainswept for Switch, Dex for Switch, Max in the Book of Chaos for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Paper Beast for PC, Allison's Diary Rebirth for Xbox One, What Trash for PC, Pitcher and the Whale for PC, Penny's Path for PC, Hunter's All-Star Battle for PC, Pill Pop for PC and Mac, Sunset Shapes for PC, Toxicant for PC, Vibrant Venture for PC and Mac, Beast Brigade for PC, Candy Disaster for PC, Dungeon Warriors for PC, Detective Driver Miami Files for Switch, Middleborg City of Mages for Switch, GSI The First Case for Switch, Kolok for Switch, Need a Packet for Switch, Ultra Core for PS Vita. Wow, a Vita
like
title.
I got a press release for a Vita title. You know I put it in there.
Man, The Lullaby of Life for Apple Arcade, and then Dumb as Wizards is leaving early access on Steam today. New dates, Paramount has announced its plans to release Sonic the Hedgehog 2, the movie, not the game, in theaters on April 8th, 2022. So we'll see if that sticks, because who knows. Greg, usually we get into reader mail, but we're running very late in the show.
The reader mail was in the show. You know how it goes.
That too. And so now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. We write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Let's see here.
How about that Taylor Swift album, huh?
I've been listening to the Logic album, because he also dropped his last album, actually. Because he's retiring, going to Twitch to stream. Nail Bodge writes in and says, "You're wrong from yesterday. Blessing during the Xbox post show yesterday said he was concerned about Playground Games. The developer of Fable and Forza Horizon was only making Fable for the foreseeable future. This won't be happening. Playground Games has two full teams making games, one for Forza Horizon and one for the new RPG group that is making Fable." I had quite a few people tweet that at me, and that was one of those ones where I was like, "I know, but I guess I'll clarify that yes, they have two teams, and so they could be working on both games at the same time." Let's see. I can't pronounce the username, but they write in and says, "You said ray tracing looks beautiful regarding Halo footage. There's no ray tracing per Aaron Greenberg. Ray tracing will be added at some point after launch." I don't recall saying ray tracing looks beautiful.
I did. Okay. I was talking about reflections, I just assumed, but that means it'll look even more beautiful.
Kebab says the code name for Uncharted 1 was Big.
Yeah, that's right.
People are writing in saying that Senua's voice actor was Melina Jurgens, which I think I said during the show, but Discord can sometimes block people out when they say things over each other. So, boom. Melina Jurgens, shout outs. And then...
Bless, Greg talked over you. I heard it.
That's true.
You said it. Okay. Yeah. There's gotcha. Video footage. Also, Greg asked what the car was. It's a Puma. Because it looks like a Puma.
And the last from Kebab's, Kebab Simulator, which was listed as coming out on Wednesday, has not released on Steam. I was actually hoping to play that one. So there you go. Nanobot just got to meet up in the streets at some point, you know? Because he loves having these back and forth. Nana Bodges writes in and says,
don't engage with him.
Oh, I'm engaging because I'm tired of it, Greg. All right? It's time
fight, to encourage them more.
Fight.
Nana Bodges writes in and says, Greg asked what Melina's role was before Senua's VO, hence for the you're wrongs. Did I not say that? I'm pretty sure I said she did, or I think we clarified that together, actually.
You said video
that
editing.
She was a video editor. Yeah. And that's what Nana Bodges is clarifying in his you're wrongs.
We didn't say her name. We didn't know her name.
No, we did know her name. Yeah. I said her
blessing
name.
For
then I did
said...
talk over you.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Fuck me. Jesus, have a nice weekend.
Bye.
All right, Nana Bodges, meet me in the streets. It's me and you, mano a mano. We'll have a barbecue. We'll have a good time. Next week's hosts go like this. On Monday, it's me and Tim. Tuesday, it's me and Imran. Wednesday, Greg and Gary Whitta. Thursday, it's Greg and me. And then Friday, it's Greg. And Major Nelson. That's right. I didn't wear this Xbox merch for nothing. We're now Team Xbox. Kind of funny. PSLV XOXO is canceled. Of course, that's a joke, by the way. It's not canceled. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games.
No. You just made an announcement. We need to address this. No. So I didn't address this. I remembered there was something I needed to look ahead on, and I totally forgot. forgot. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your official announcement that next week, Major Nelson is having a kind of funny weekend. On Thursday, he's going to show up and do We Have Cool Friends With Us, a special episode on the 30th. Then on the 31st, he's going to pop on by, do Games Daily with me. And then Saturday, the 1st, he will be on the co-hosting chair for episode 3 of the Kind of Funny X-Cast. That's a lot of Major Nelson content coming your way next week.
Should people writing questions? Can people writing questions somewhere?
You know you can. We have cool friends. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Remember, I'm doing Tim Schafer's interview today. So if you have Tim Schafer questions, get in fast. And then, yeah, games, all the game stuff is on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get there for Games Daily on next Friday. And, of course, the X-Cast right now for today's X-Cast. It'll go up tomorrow. And then Saturday's X-Cast as well.
And of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily. Pew, pew.